20, 30, cuts midfield, 40. The kicker to beat. See you later.
At the 40, at the 30. Look at him go. 20, 10, DTR to the house.
Here comes Donald. And he spins Burrow around and then trying to throw it away.
TDLB. Raiders in the end zone. The Raiders have a touchdown.
This is LA Football Mondays, talking all things LA football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson.
LA Football Mondays is brought to you by the Ford F-150 truck with an available interior work surface and 12-inch touchscreen. It's built tough. Visit your local Southern California dealer to test drive one today. And now, here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson.
All right, here we go. It's our favorite time of the week. Mondays with Eric Dickerson, ED. Again, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney, Kevin, all you guys in the back, everybody. All the listeners. Good afternoon, listeners, everyone. Good afternoon.
You know, people love this segment, Eric. I have to tell you, people always say to me, when you have Eric on, it's hilarious. Because we just really? Don't talk about football. We talk about life, Eric. You know
life.
What? You're you know what you are? You're a mentor. You're kind of a coach. You share life lessons with people.
Fred, thank you. I just try to be that guy. You know, I'm like the Yogi Kudu, or whatever you call him, Yogi something. You know, just a yogi. You know, I just want to tell you what I think. You know, just like we talk about. You know, chickens and all that kind of stuff and chitlins and, you know, people never heard about that. Well, people have heard about it. You haven't heard about it.
No, I didn't hear about it. No, that's true. I mean,
I told you. Let
me tell you the things I've learned.
You thought we were making it up.
I thought you made up a lot of stuff over the years. You know, I learned about funerals. I learned about weddings.
Wait, no, you learned about black funerals, not just funerals, black funerals. The black funeral, how the people be falling out and jumping in the casket and all that kind of stuff. That's what you learned about, that kind of stuff.
Throw me in the ground with him.
Put me in the ground with him. I just can't live.
And I learned about weddings, where people would show up and ask for an extra plate.
Oh no, that's funerals too. Not weddings, funerals. That's they're coming out. Yeah, I'm gonna get a plate for a cousin so and so. He couldn't get over here. Well, you got three plates? You know, you know, you need to bring his ass over here too. wedding people showing up shouldn't show up.
Oh, that
I
was
just
that.
I just want to say something. You know, he was at my house last night, and he getting married today. Uh oh. You get the. Uh oh.
What the hell is she doing here?
Why is she here anyway? You know, what she got to say?
Well, they're always fun. Always fun on Monday.
Good, Fred. Thank you. Listeners. I have to say thank you, listeners. Anyway.
All right, let's start. Kansas City defeats Jacksonville. But the story there, Patrick Mahomes suffers a high ankle sprain. And now, Rodney, have you ever had a high ankle sprain?
I have.
Okay.
And they're not fun. They take forever to heal. I'll put it that way. That's a hard one right there. They take forever to heal, and it's hard to, you know, when you're trying to tape them up and continue to play, it becomes more difficult. He's going to have a tough week. But, you know, I would say if he was playing any other position, it'd be hard for him to play.
Right.
Quarterback, right. He can be in the pocket. He can do a lot of shotgun. He doesn't have to cut dramatically. He's not Lamar Jackson, where they're going to rely on him to run a whole lot. If they protect him, he'll be able to get away with his arm more so than not. But if he's a running back or a receiver or a defensive back or a linebacker, it'd be difficult for him to even play with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, I find it interesting because in the NBA, when a guy suffers a high ankle sprain, he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes says, I'll be showing up on Sunday to go, and I didn't understand that.
Well, think about it. If it was his shoulder, he wouldn't be showing up. Like Jalen Hurts, he wouldn't show up. I mean, because he just dropped, you know, quarterbacks that drop back, if they're not mobile, they don't have to be really mobile. Just be able to throw the football, plant and throw the football. You know, any other position. Like basketball, think about it. You jumping, cutting. Leaping, all that kind of stuff. And a running back, you got to cut, stop, start, defensive end or defensive tackle, or offensive tackle. You got leverage. You know, you got push off on a guy. So that's why it wouldn't work for a quarterback, most definitely. But I'm going to say this here. I don't care if you got a good ankle or not. I don't think – I said it all along. The best team in the AFC is the Cincinnati Bengals, and it showed yesterday. I told our boy Chris Hale a couple of weeks ago. I said, y'all can't beat Cincinnati. I said, I'm telling you, they too good. I said, you know, and I didn't believe it last year. Now, because, you know, last year, I mean, I didn't watch Cincinnati. I mean, you know, they're in Cincinnati. But, man, you have to give them credit. That is a very good football team. They're deep. Their defense is good.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow is the real deal. You know, the
receiver. He might be the best quarterback left.
I think he is. I mean, I'm really. I mean, the receiver. I mean, Jamar Chase. I mean, he's some of the catch he made that they overturned. That was they should have gave it to him on GP. You get his catch
just
on GP.
Just the fact that you caught it. Yeah,
fact that you caught it. I mean, they beat up Buffalo's defensive line. They beat up Buffalo's offensive line. And I think they're gonna beat Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City can have them.
Yeah, Kansas City, if they had their choice, even though they would have had to play in a neutral site, I think Kansas City was rooting for Buffalo. They wanted to play Buffalo because Cincinnati, not only did they have their number for the last three games, but they are playing with so much confidence right now, including their quarterback. But the whole team is playing with so much confidence. They are a complete football team, offensively and defensively. And they do it well. They do a lot of things well, Fred. They're one of the – well, Philadelphia is that way too. And the last – think about the teams that are left. They all are able to not only throw the football, but able to run the football.
There you go.
Pass the football. They're able to be balanced. And probably the least team that's like that, but that's how they won that game was Kansas City. They turned it over to their running game late in the game. But you got to be able to run the football in January, and all of these teams left can run the football. Cincinnati with Pirine and Mixon, that's a nice combination. And then you put Joe Burrow, who is as confident as any quarterback that's playing a game right now. Cincinnati is a tough out.
All right, but that leads to this. When the season started, if we think back and we looked at the AFC, the team that people were talking about winning it all was Buffalo.
Yeah.
All right. So now, for the second straight year in the playoffs, and we know what happened last year, and we know how this year ended for them, they're out. And when you look at it, you say to yourself, okay, that's 2 years in a row now. They were right there, and they come up short. 2 years in a row. What do you do if you're Buffalo? Because it's obvious you don't have enough. You're missing something somewhere. What do you do?
You know what they're missing? A running game. That's what they're missing. I said to my boy Chris Hale. I said, man, y'all don't run the football well enough. Y'all's defense plays good defense. Y'all not dominant on defense, but you've got to be able to take the pressure off you. Your quarterback's a leading rusher. And I keep saying, I hate to see him run because he's such a great quarterback. He's going to get hurt. You know, you just can't. You can't do that. And he's not a real runner. Like, you know, he runs kind of like I'm a big guy, like almost like Cam Newton. But, you know, they didn't protect Cam Newton. They're protecting him. I mean, and they're missing a running game. I mean, I just don't feel like they're a good football team. They would be a great football team if they had a running game. I mean, and they tried to get McCaffrey. That's what they tried to get. But, you know, the 49ers had more to give up for him.
Yeah, they relied way too much on Josh Allen. If he's not going good, then they're in real trouble. And like Edie said, even it's one thing to rely on your quarterback and in the passing game. If you're going to throw it 40 times a game, your quarterback has to be on, and he can do that. But when you're also relying on him to be your leading rusher every week, that's a tough thing to do and be successful on a regular basis, because that's your quarterback. You don't want to get him beat up, number one. Number two, he can't be your leading rusher.
There you go.
And that's where they've run into problems late in the season and in the playoffs. And they gotta fix that. And I don't know how they fix it, but they gotta really address the fact that they don't have a running game, because when you do get into January and in these playoff times, you better be able to run the football a little bit.
See, I mean, here's what I was gonna say. If it's that simple, then they should have identified it and done it. Because now you look at this team getting as far as they have 2 years in a row, coming up short, you're like, can you sit and do exactly what you're doing and just bring in a running back? Is that the difference?
I mean,
more than that, Fred.
It's more than just
a running back. It's the right offensive lineman. It's the scheme that they may be running could change a lot of things. I mean, look, Eric knows it. Eric knows, and he's been around where you know you have. Boy, I've had him too. You have some great offensive line coaches that knows
Hudson
how.
Hudson Howk.
Think about to the Rams team that he had. Think about those Dallas teams in the early and mid 90s. Mm-hmm. Hudson Howk was offensive line coach. Coaching matters, especially when it's in a running game. Bill Callahan is a great running offensive line coach with the running game. So it matters. So it's not just, okay, we'll bring in a running back. You got to bring in the right scheme, too, and the right coaches to coach up those offensive linemen.
You said it, Rodney. You said Bill. That was going to be my next thing, Bill Callahan. I won't forget when he went to Cleveland, and my friend Jason Hill is a big Browns fan. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing y'all going to be able to do over in Cleveland. Y'all are going to be able to run the football. When Callahan was at the Cowboys, that's when they were at their best. I mean, I don't see what they should have had him back. I mean, the Jets tried to get him. This year, mm-hmm. he said, "Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna stay in Cleveland." Yeah, so when you can run the football, and it's not just about you can get out there and just try to run it. It don't work like that. I mean, you've got to have a real scheme.
Hey, don't forget our visits with Eric on Mondays are brought to you by the Ford F-150 with combined toughness and intelligence. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. Okay, well, the guy you thought had the experience and would have the better game did not. And the guy with no experience is moving on to the NFC Championship game. Purdy and Prescott next.
And I just won $1,000!
Now's your chance to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Bonus. That's bonus. Enter it now.
AM570LASports.com.
Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Together, all right, we can make things happen.
Presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. This is LA Football Mondays. Visit buyfordnow.com. Now, here's Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Come on, let's keep it moving, baby. LA Football Monday, Rodney Peete, Fred Rogan, the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. How was your weekend? That's what I want to know.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. The 49ers weekend, much better than the weekend of the Dallas Cowboys. Defensive struggle, but it was Brock Purdy out-dueling Dak Prescott, and the 49ers advanced. Do you find that the least bit strange, that the guy that had the experience did not play as well as the guy with virtually no experience in that situation, Rodney?
No. That's my
there it goes again.
No, I know, right? No, because first of all, you going up against two very good defenses, and San Francisco's got a tremendous defense. They're gonna make anybody struggle a little bit. But I will say, if you look at them both, Purdy made more plays than Dak. At the end of the day, because it was both Dallas defense played well enough to win that game. You know, Dak turned it over twice with interception, bad throws, interception, and Purdy took care of the ball and he made plays when he had to. And George Kittle helped him out with a big play, but he made some throws where he had to make throws where Dak didn't. So you know, in the course of that game, yes, Purdy outplayed Dak, but I'm not shocked because San Francisco's defense can make a lot of quarterbacks look bad because they are that good.
I agree. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing that's just funny to me is just, and I just got to say this, just his name.
Purdy. 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 And Purdy. Purdy.
It just don't sound tough. You know, like,
our quarterback is Purdy. Who? Purdy. Purdy did it. Purdy is pretty.
Wow. But anyway, I got to say, the young kid, he outplayed Dak Prescott. But the thing is not, you know, these teams are pretty evenly matched, even though I was hoping the Cowboys could beat the 49ers because I don't like the 49ers. I don't like their fans. I don't like neither one of their fans, really. They're just so arrogant. But the thing is that Dak throws too many picks. I just gotta say it, and I like Dak. I mean, I like Dak, but Dak throws too many picks for a seasoned quarterback. He puts his team in a bad situation. They're down on like the 12-yard line, and he throws a pick. I mean, you can't do that, man. And that defense played great. Their defense, they played well enough to win. They really did. But you're a veteran quarterback. You've been in this situation for a number of years. I mean, look, I know this. All those players, Dak is trying his damnedest to play great. But when you're not in big situations, the light is on you. And you're the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Keep that in mind, the Dallas Cowboys.
And that kind of game, too, when both defenses are good and it's going to be one of those kind of dogfight games, it comes down to your quarterback's going to have to make a couple plays, going to have to make a few plays. And I can't remember a signature moment for Dak in his career that he's really like put the team on his back and said, "I'm this one's on me. I'm going to go get it." Now they beat a beat up, not a very good Tampa Bay team the week before,
right?
And now they play a team, San Francisco, who they're evenly matched with, at least defensively. You got to go make a few plays to win. And Dak, I can't remember him being in a situation in a big game. In a big game where he was the difference maker, where he went out and it was about Dak making the plays to win the game.
That's exactly right.
In an important big playoff game or big game of the season. You think about all the big games that Dallas has been in, they've been on the short end of it. And Dak has yet to play lights out.
I agree with you. I mean, think about Joe Burrows, the way he's played when he had to in the big games. Think about Josh Allen, the way he's played. Justin Herbert, the way he's played in the big games. And I mean, like I say, man, I like Dak. I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I like Dak. But I have to tell you what I see. And he hasn't. You know, he had CeeDee Lamb had a great game. I mean, 117 yards. I mean, they didn't run the ball well. Zeke had 26 yards rushing. Pollard, before he got him, Pollard got hurt. That changed
That changed everything for them.
But you're right. When you're a franchise quarterback, people say, what makes a franchise player? What makes a Hall of Fame player? It's when, if it's 16 or 17, 17 weeks in the game, and say 9 or 10 of those weeks, you win the game. The game, like, man, did you see how he played? He made some pass throws. Like, wow. I mean, Josh Allen with no running game. It was some of his passes yesterday were like, man, did you see that throw? I mean, and Dak has not been able to do that. You know what, Rodney? He should have had 4 picks.
Yesterday. Oh, yeah. And one for not a touchdown.
Two. One for a touchdown. He should have had 4 picks. I mean, that's not a franchise quarterback. That is how Purdy should have been playing. But Purdy played a lot better.
He did. I mean, you think about Joe Burrow. The bigger the game, the better he plays.
Yep. He's right? Like Joe Montana.
The bigger
Montana.
The game, he's like, oh, this, you know, he's, you just got the feeling that Joe Burrow is going to do something special in a big game.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes, you know, in the course of a game, he's going to do something special in that game that's going to help his team win. You don't feel the same way about Dak.
Mm-mm. No. I mean, I talked to the Cowboy fans. I got some guy, man, and they like, man, Dak, one guy used to say, they could package up Dak and the kicker and send both of them home.
Poor kicker. But you know, here's the thing about Dak. They just signed him to an extension and a lot of money.
They're trapped.
I know.
They're trapped with him, and they're trapped with Zeke. Him and Zeke.
Right.
So much money.
They're not trapped with Zeke because I think they're gonna get Zeke to take a pay cut. I mean, I know his agent really well. And I told him, I said, look, Zeke has been a Cowboy his whole career. I said it would be advantageous for him to leave the Cowboys. Stay there. You made plenty of money. You're not gonna make $700,000. They're gonna probably take your salary down to a couple of $1 million. But be a Cowboy if you can for the rest of your career.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because they are strapped with both those guys, especially Dak. I think he hits them for $45 million next year.
Next year, they stuck with him. Can I get $4,500?
Exactly.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But you know, what do you do? Because I think that all the other pieces are there. The defense is there. Their defense, and that defense is going to be good for a while. They got some young players on that defense. It's just if the offense could make, if they made a few plays on offense, like you said, even with,
even with the two interceptions, which Eric says is right, it could have been four, even with those two interceptions, remember one was in the red zone going in, that took points off the board. Even with that, that game is still only 19-12. And Dallas still had a chance to come back and tie that game. So, in games like this, the quarterback matters, and the quarterback's got to make some plays. Jalen Hurts made plays for him. You know, Burrow made plays. Teams that won made plays. Purdy, even that game, you know, he stayed within himself, but there was time for him to make some throws. He made the throws.
He made the throw. I'm like, wow. I mean, he made some big time.
Third down. How many third down throws he made that kept the chains going? He made the throws when he had to.
Yo, let me look up their third down completion. I mean, they were. I mean, like I say, I'm not a 49er fan, but I just have to give them credit, man. They're a good football team, a very good football team.
All around. I mean, every phase is pretty good.
And you know, offensively, they play within Shanahan's system. They know what they're doing. Eric, as you would say, they run the football. I said, and I think Rodney kind of went, what? When the 49ers got McCaffrey, I sat here and said they've just won the NFC West.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
The minute they got him, and if he's healthy, they've won the NFC West. And now you see how valuable a really good running back is. Because he can just grind yards out and grind them out and open your passing game. And because of that, Purdy doesn't have to drop back and throw 57 times.
That's it. They don't ask him to.
But even that, he's good out the backfield, too. So they lined him out wide out, as a wide out. You know, he can catch the ball. He runs good routes. I mean, they were 50% on third downs. I mean, third downs, I mean, they were good. I mean, they really were. I'm not a fan of either one of them teams, but I just can't stand the 49. I think I'll stay in our division. That's like, to me, Fred and Rodney, that's like rooting for the San Francisco Giants win the World Series. That'd be like, that's an absolutely hell no.
how is it that there, and I guess I understand this, that there are people here in Los Angeles that do root for the 49ers, and I think it's because when L.A. lost their football teams, that was the team people started rooting for here. But, Eric, that's the exact question to ask. How in the world could you root for the 49ers yet hate the Giants? It doesn't work that way.
You mean people here in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love the 49ers and hate the Giants.
So how can you root for the 49ers if you hate the Giants?
Because what you just said, I know a young lady that all her family members are Ram fans. She's a 49er. I think she's like 14 or 15 years younger than everyone. And she said, well, when I grew up, there was no team here. And, you know, I saw the 49ers. So I just became a 49er, California. I said, so let me ask you a question. I said, so do you root for the San Francisco Giants? She said, no, I can't. She said, I'm a Dodger fan. But see, there was no football team. So then the Rams, in a sense, did this to themselves. You know, they've been gone. They were gone 22 years. All of a sudden, you show back. Like I tell you, it's like a man showing back up 22 years later. Hey, baby, I'm home. Like, what? Who the hell are you? Well, what do you want?
Hey, baby, I'm home.
What are we having for dinner? Fix me that meal I like, baby. Come on.
wait till Jerome get here. Let's see how you like it. My husband.
Who is Jerome now? Who is Jerome?
You know Jerome. You big Jerome. Big black Jerome.
Oh, God. All right, so the Bengals are talking about extending Joe Burrow.
Taking
care of him now.
They better.
Yeah.
Let's just jump in. Let's get this done.
Do it.
Let's not wait till, you know, we have to. We're going to get it done. Okay, in that situation, you go, that makes sense. You look at what the Rams did with Matthew Stafford, you go, that doesn't make sense. But now let's look at the Chargers with Justin Herbert. They got him for two more years. If they're going to extend Burrow, and understand, when they pay Herbert, they're going to have to pay him an awful lot of money, which is going to change the complexion of their team because they won't have as much money to spend elsewhere. If you're the Chargers, what do you do? Do you A, extend him right now? You've earned it. You're getting it right now. Or do you understand that while you have him for what you're paying him, you damn better win because things are going to change?
What does Herbert have? Two more years left on his rookie deal? if Herbert, I don't pay him right away. I don't pay him right now. I try to get the pieces. Whatever I'm thinking I need right now, I try to go fulfill that and make sure I've got the core team around it. And then I can say a year from now, 2 years, okay, now let's figure out how much to pay him. If we can afford him, we can afford him. But I got a team together that a good quarterback, we can win. It may not be Justin Herbert, but I can win with a good quarterback because you got 2 years to work with. I think differently about Joe Burrow because I think Joe Burrow is on a different level. I think Joe Burrow is a guy, he's already been to the Super Bowl. He's got his team ready to go at another AFC championship. If I'm them, I'm locking Joe Burrow up. And I know you don't like long-term deals, Fred, but I'm locking him up for a long-term deal. Because if I lock him up for, say, 7-8 years, and he's the rest of his career, he's a Bengal, and year five of that deal, the price tag for quarterbacks is going to be in a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be cheap 5 years from now, 4 years from now. But whatever you sign him today, he's going to be cheap 4 or 5 years from now. That's why I sign Joe Burrow right now and give him and back up the truck. I give him like Patrick Mahomes type of money.
I agree with Rodney on that for sure. I feel like that the Chargers are not just a quarterback away. They have a quarterback. I mean, they need more. They need more pieces. And if they pay Herbert a lot of money, how are they going to afford anything else? I mean, the Bengals, they have a quarterback. They have pretty much all the pieces they need. Go ahead and pay him because he's riding his right. Later down the line, it's going to cost you more. I mean, mm-hmm. when I looked at Jared Goff, I'm like, don't pay him. I say, to me, he's not the guy, and we don't have to pay him.
We
had so many other pieces that made him, and I'm not saying that made him look better than what he really was. We had so much other stuff. I'm like, we missing that piece, but it's not him. That's like I kept saying, it's not him. So don't pay him. And they paid him like, oh, my gosh. Now they messed up. You know, they paid him all that money. And like you said, they did the same thing with Stafford. We didn't have to pay. Why did we give Matt an extension, whatever? It didn't make sense. I mean, he's an older quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. Thank God he got us a Super Bowl. But what was the purpose for it? I mean, give him a bonus. I mean, that's it. I mean, give him some kind of bonus. But Burroughs, most definitely, you pay him and lock him down.
Yeah, the thing is, Burrow has been to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert has not. But I would, if you put Justin Herbert in Cincinnati with that team, maybe he would. I mean, I think he's that good. I really think he's that
good. I don't know if he takes Cincinnati to the same place as Joe Burrow does. Joe Burrow is different. Joe mm-hmm. Burrow is different when it comes to managing the game, the pre-snap. You watch him play, the accuracy that he has. Justin Herbert has talent. Don't get me wrong. He's got tremendous talent, and I think he's going to continue to get better. But I think Joe Burrow's a different level of a quarterback when it comes to seeing the field, making quick decisions, running the show at quarterback, understanding how to play the position. I think Joe Burrow's on a different level than Justin Herbert.
I agree with Rodney. And I'm not a quarterback. I mean, I'm a running back. But when you watch it, it's a difference. It's like watching when you watch Montana, and you watch other great quarterbacks. You can watch even Elway. You watch Marino. It was something about Montana that was just cool, no panic. You know, he just knew it. You know, just like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just like Tom Brady. I mean, and I'm not saying Justin Herbert is a phenomenal quarterback. So is Josh Allen, but Joe Burrows he's on a different level.
Yeah. The Chargers have a choice to make here. You're both of the opinion they will not pay Herbert early.
They could. I just don't think they should.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, I can say up something else.
What's their upside? Really? What is it? Because let's just say this. Let's say he plays very well next year. Very well. I mean, it plays out the next year. I mean, then, okay, it may cost you another $10 to $15 million. It's worth it. It's worth it. I don't think they're going to be in a Super Bowl, nothing like that, but it's worth it, you know, just to wait. Because that way I got a chance to get some other pieces.
Why don't you think they'll be in a Super Bowl?
Man, come on, Fred. Let's be for real.
Why
dog.
Don't? There's a team called Kansas City in their way. There's a team called Cincinnati in their way.
Buffalo. I mean,
Buffalo's come on, in their way.
Yeah, nah.
Don't sleep on Jacksonville. Going to continue to get better, too.
Get better? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel like that. You know, I think they're going to – I just think they're going to stick with this coach too long. I mean, when they – yeah, you can fire the quarterback coach. You more just going to fire the running back coach too, the special teams coach. You know, fire the equipment guy. You know, it's his fault. let's just fire the parking – let's fire some of the secretaries. it's the head coach. I mean, it's like in Oakland. I mean, not Oakland, Vegas. I mean, you got to look hard at your leader, you know, and how it's going with him.
I guess we'll see. Our visits with Erica brought to you by the Ford F-150 with combined toughness and intelligence. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. Okay, speaking of making moves, you know, the Rams have to remodel. When you remodel, you probably bring in some new lumber and start building, but you got to knock down some of the walls in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we know which wall they're going to knock down next.
AM 570 LA Sports.
From the Rams to the Raiders to the Chargers, this is LA Football Mondays on AM 570 LA Sports. Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete are presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
That's right, it's an LA Football Monday. Rodney Peete, Fred Rogan, the Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson.
All right, guys, for the Rams, it's trying to figure out what to do going forward. You know, they're on the outside looking in. But the good news is they have more time to get ready for next year. See, there's a silver lining at every club.
Look at you, half full, Freddie. You're normally a half empty kind of guy.
No, it's good for the Rams. They were exhausted. Now they have time to put a roster together. Sean McVay reconstruct his coaching staff. And next year they'll be ready to go again. But we want to play you some sound from Les Snead last week. Les was talking about how the Rams got into the position they're in and then what they're going to do going forward. I thought it was an honest assessment, and I thought it was highly unusual. Oftentimes, you do not hear people tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Hey, we did this to ourselves, and now we got to fix it. Here he is.
Every year, there's an element of a remodel, tweaks. We're very well aware that some of our core players, right, are in their primes and getting closer to the twilight of their primes. But that does not mean, right, when you're a player like that in your prime, that you're still not very, very productive and can be very successful in this league. So we'll have that balance of trying to navigate those waters, still be very, very competitive in the micro, and then also realizing, you know, from a macro standpoint, there is going to be an element where we're probably going to have to, let's call it, not press the gas as much, pay a little bit of the debt that we've accumulated. But we've been able to be competitive paying some of that debt as well. And a lot of times I refer to debt as maybe some dead money on your salary cap. We've done that with dead money from Todd Gurley and Jared Goff. So there are ways. Not necessarily easy, but this league's not easy, and it's up to us to be creative, innovative, and try to figure that out.
All right, that was okay. First, that was Les Snead, and then that was Eric drinking a glass of juice or something.
I'm drinking a glass of juice over here.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was Thomas. I didn't know he was drinking.
A lot of ice in that cup.
There's a lot of ice in this cup over here.
How much ice is in that cup?
Well, I like my grape juice cold, so. You know. No, I didn't know. He was talking. I thought my mic was off. My bad.
And then middle of it, you go.
Well, I could have went.
All right. Well, you heard him say that they've got to pay some of that debt. And Jason LaConfora is saying some of that debt could turn out to be Jalen Ramsey. They could get at least a first-round pick for him. Jalen Ramsey has been sending out tweets, somewhat cryptic, about his time here. He had his best year. But now after you hear Les Snead, and then you see this report, and you think about it, Eric, might he be the one to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Look, in today's football, you guys don't stay with teams forever. I mean, that's always what you hope when you draft a guy. We didn't draft him. We got him, you know, through a trade that the guy could stay there forever. I mean, a prime example, Tom Brady. Tom Brady has won 7 Super Bowls, been in 10 Super Bowls. The Patriots let him go. Joe Montana, going back into our era, he won the 49ers 4 Super Bowls. They let him go. I mean, it's just, that's the nature of this beast. You want to keep guys as long as you can, but it doesn't work out that way. I guarantee you, one day, the Cincinnati Bengals will part ways with Joe Burrows. That's just how it works. The Buffalo Bills will part ways with Josh Allen. I mean, that's how it is. When you get older, or they think that they've got, you think they can get something for you that's going to help the whole team, they're going to do it. I mean, and in this case, I mean, I get it. I mean, look, I like Jalen Ramsey as a player, but, you know, we're in a tough situation. I mean, we don't have cap space. I mean, he's taking up a lot of money. We got money in Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, and both of them, those three guys. I mean, Cooper Kupp. I mean, it's a lot of money in those guys. So, yeah, if you can dump some of it or alleviate some of it to try to get something, because we need draft picks. I mean, it's great when you can go and get a 5th-round draft pick and he turns out to be phenomenal, but that's a rarity. I mean, it just doesn't work like that all the time.
No, it doesn't. And the hard part is, yes, his contract is huge, and he can give up and free up a lot of money. At the same time, you know, finding a corner that can lock it down is hard. So you better find someone that can somewhat replace him, and that's the difficulty. And I know he's, you know, been around. He's more of a veteran than he once was, but he's still a force at corner and in a position where it is valuable to have a guy that can lock some people down. So that is a tough decision that they have to weigh. And yes, they can get draft picks and they can reload stuff, but you still, if you do that, you're going to have to replace that production of Jalen Ramsey too.
But I say this too, Rodney. I mean, and honestly, in all honesty, I think Jalen Ramsey is a really good corner. I don't think he's a lockdown corner anymore. I don't think he's not like a Deion Sanders. He's not that guy. I mean, it's only one Deion. Mm-hmm. And I don't look at Jalen Ramsey like that guy, like, hey, don't throw over there. He might look like he's open, but don't throw over there. You know, he's not that guy. They take shots at him, and a lot of times they did this past year too.
Right? Yeah,
they get what they want. Even they team took him last year. They get what they want out of him. I mean, think about the Super Bowls. Who's it? We had the touchdown pass. You know, they face mask.
T. Higgins went on top of him. Yeah.
Yeah, but he still got a touchdown on him. So I mean, it's not like they're not throwing at him. So right now, if you can get something for him. Of course. I mean, look, Jalen Ramsey, he's going to be fine. You know, we it's like anything. We thank you for your service here, but if your time is up, it's up. You'll always be part of the Rams organization, but, you know, sometimes it's time to move on.
Okay, and if that happens, then what does that do to the Rams' defensive secondary?
Man, you know what? The secondary is, I think we're good. We're not great. I think we're good. We can be good at times. I mean, sometimes we look great at times, and we'd be good at times. I don't think it's like going to demolish the secondary. I don't. I think they will be able to replace him with someone that's already there, or get someone from, you know, that's not going to cost as much money. And that's what it comes down to, Fred, the money. You know, it's always about the money, you know. And so for the Rams, it's about the money. And are we going to be competitive? We've got to be competitive. Right? Like this year, we won 5 football games. We went from 12-5 to being in the Super Bowl to winning what, 5-12?
Yeah.
Yeah. Opposite.
Yeah. And you know, you got a strike where you think his value is still there, which I believe they do. And if you look at Jalen Ramsey around the league, he's still a guy that people would say, oh yeah, he's still got a lot in the tank and he's still a very, very good corner. And so you don't want to wait too long where they say, oh, he's over the hill. He can't really play anymore, so his value goes down. So that's why I'm sure his name is coming up, because I think he can help a lot of teams out there that may be a corner short or a defensive back away, and he can fill that void while he's still got that trading, you know, power in him.
Yeah, when we got him, I was shocked we got him. I mean, really. I mean, what did we give up, 2 1s for him? Something like that?
Yeah.
Was it 2-1? Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I knew he wanted to get out of Jacksonville, but getting him, like, damn. And I'm like, we got Jalen Ramsey. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like I say, he's done. He's been fantastic here.
Mondays are brought to you by the Ford F-150 with combined toughness and intelligence. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. All right. When we come back, we pay tribute to Vic with a haiku. And if there was a listener that would love to contribute, Eric always enjoys that. 866-987-2570. Plus, we will get you caught up on everything that has happened today with It's Lit.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.